Welcome to the Pet Loss Companion. I'm Ken Dolan Del Vecchio, and I'm here with my friend and co-author, Nancy Saxton Lopez. And this is a program that we do live on Facebook and YouTube every Thursday from 6 o'clock to about 6:30, give or take. And it is a program that grew out of the book that we wrote. And that book is called The Pet Loss Companion, Healing Advice from Family Therapists Who Lead Pet Loss Groups. This medium allows us to kind of broaden our reach and actually have some interaction with people who might be served by the kind of content that we've focused on. And so if you would like to send us your story, and we welcome you doing so, you can reach me at kenddv@gmail.com. You can reach Nancy at nsaxtonlopez@csmpc.com. The information I'm sharing now is available in the description that's connected either to the live broadcast or the rebroadcast or the audio podcast, wherever you may find it. So I'm going to move through it pretty quickly just to let you know some of the content, but you can easily reference it. If you do write to us, please let us know if we can share your story on the podcast and also on our Substack newsletter. And the Substack newsletter is a new feature that we're offering where you can read correspondence that's directed to us, emails that are sent to us, our responses. Sometimes there's a whole series of responses. Mm-hmm. And also some of the beautiful pictures that people send us of their beloved animal companions. And you'll see the link to the Substack in the description as well. You can also send us a recommendation for a guest or for a topic. And you can support the program in addition to by subscribing to the Substack. You can send us a gift through Venmo or PayPal. You can make a monthly subscription through Spotify. And we also want you to know that this program is a friend of Dakin Humane Society in Springfield, Massachusetts. Dakin does all kinds of programming that's very helpful to animals and their people, not the least of which, of course, is their fairly large shelter system. So they shelter and adopt out rescues. One of the programs that they offer is a cost-free Zoom pet loss support group that I facilitate on the second Tuesday of every month. It runs 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, and it is totally cost-free. Mm-hmm. There's an RSVP link in the description, and the next one will be on February 13th. And if you'd like to join, or you think you might like to join, please go there as soon as possible and sign up, because we get a really large number of people signing up, and we put a cap on it because we don't want the groups to be so large that they become really unwieldy. So also, please consider subscribing on YouTube, because if you subscribe, that raises the profile of the program and the algorithm, and that helps other people who may find it helpful, helps them to find it more quickly. And so please consider doing that, and also maybe writing a comment or leaving a thumbs up. All of that is very helpful. And then finally, we'd like you to know that we have an affiliation with a business called Bereave, and Bereave makes these beautifully crafted granite plaques that are the kind of thing that you could use as a marker outside or maybe on a table where you keep mementos of your deceased animal companion. And they're really substantial. And I think Nancy is going to be holding up the one that they gave us as a sample. We wanted to make sure that we actually could see the value, and it's heavy.
It's really heavy.
Beautifully.
If
that would be useful for you, then consider getting one, because some of the proceeds come back to support our program. So Nancy, want to get us started for today?
Yes. We have one story tonight, and Ken and I are going to share reading it. And I'm really glad that Nate wrote in. I think Nate's watching tonight. And thank you so much, because this is kind of a different loss in some ways. And so Nate and his beautiful Maggie, we're going to share and then talk about it, because it has to do with a disability, which could be other disabilities also for other dogs or cats or our pets. But because it was so difficult that they needed to euthanize Maggie, after a lot of hard work and working with Maggie over a period of time. So I'm going to start, and then Ken's going to continue. Hello, Nancy and Ken. Like so many of your listeners, I came across your podcast and searching for pet loss support. You can use my name and story any way you see fit. This is a story about my dog Maggie's life, but also a topic I think it would be good for you to cover. I only began listening to your podcast a few weeks ago, so of course I haven't listened to every episode. Of the episodes that I have listened to, they mostly seem to involve a pet that has an illness that is obviously devastating, a tumor, cancer, heart disease, an accident. In my case, I put Maggie, who is entirely healthy, except for one thing that I never thought would be life-threatening, to put down. Something not so obviously devastating, right? Arthritis. I think this topic would resonate with many of your listeners, people whose pet's downfall was strictly based on mobility. I think any listener that has had a pet with arthritis can relate to this situation. And any listener who currently has a pet with arthritis or will ever have a pet with arthritis, I think can benefit from hearing this story and discussing it. It can give some insight on what to expect. And maybe you guys can talk about this type of death and how agonizing it can be. Not only to see the slow decline in your beloved fur baby, but also the guilt that comes from euthanizing an entirely healthy dog outside of their mobility. It would be entirely up to me and my wife to end Maggie's life. This disease would not kill her. We would. There is no telling how long she could have lived, since she had zero indicators of any other disease despite being 15. Maggie was a rescue dog, the first dog I ever owned. We found her on Petfinder. My wife and I rescued her in November of 2008. I still recall meeting her and falling in love with her. We decided she was going to be ours after that first meeting. She was just what we wanted. A dog that would grow to about 40 pounds and not be too big. Her temperament seemed just right for us too. She was relatively calm, although quite nervous. Understandable given her uncertain background as a rescue. We loaded her into the back seat of our car where I sat with her on the ride home while my wife drove. She was my heart dog ever since that ride home. She slept in the crook of my arm for what must have been a week straight. The poor girl must have been exhausted from the ordeal she went through in her short life. She was estimated to be about 8 or 9 months old when we got her. Once she was fully rested from all of that sleeping, she proved to be a fun, energetic dog, just like all young pups. The nervousness was gone, too. I was working full-time, so I rarely was able to see her much during the week for walks and playtime. My hours had me away from home for about 12 hours per day. My wife would be home for part of the day, but she had her own life to live, so Maggie was left alone for hours at a time most days. We did take her to doggy daycare multiple times per week so that she could run and play with other dogs. After about a year with Maggie, we thought she needed a companion in the house, so we rescued another dog named Enzo. He was about 34 pounds. We were living in a townhouse at the time, and it probably wasn't the ideal living situation for two dogs. There was very little room for them to run and play. We gave them the best life possible given the circumstances. Taking them to daycare multiple times a week and feeding them a fresh food diet from one of those services that delivers to your door, which was the farmer's dog. We lived this way until late 2019. I was able to work from home from time to time. The dogs loved this. Maggie would get the zoomies and want to play. She'd zip from my office to the bedroom, sprint to the bed and jump on it and twist in the covers, jump off and back to the office to look at me and say, "Hey, let's play," before zooming back to the bed over and over again. I would ultimately get up and play with her. How could I resist? Chasing her back and forth. She loved when I would put my hand under the covers and she would tack my hand with little nips, likely imagining it was a squirrel, which she never would catch despite all of our attempts outdoors. Maggie also loved to give hugs. If you came down to her level, she would prop her front paws up on your shoulders and pull her body in close to you. The best dog hug you've ever had. She did this without fail to every person she met. She would never jump on anyone. She would wait for you to come down to her level in order to earn her hug. In late 2019, I was fortunate enough to be able to retire at the age of 45. My wife and I moved into a house in a much smaller town that was close to her family. We now had a huge yard and plenty of room for the dogs. And now being retired, I was able to spend ample time with my dogs. When we first moved here, Maggie would love to be outside in our big yard. She really loved to roll around in the grass, four paws to the heavens, and wiggling to get a full body scratch. Enzo would chase his ball that we would throw, and Maggie would chase him. Not once in her life did she ever chase a ball or anything that we threw. It was just never her thing. We would walk Maggie and Enzo twice around our block most days. Even now, at almost 12 years old, Maggie was able to jump up on our bed, which came up to almost our waist. Maggie was always an extremely strong jumper. She could jump heights that I never thought possible for her size. Her back legs were strong and muscular. And then one day, we noticed a bit of a limp in her front right leg. Maggie's arthritis progressed like it would for most dogs, I presume. She started to favor that one front leg. Not always, just from time to time. The smallest limps every once in a while. We didn't even think too much of it. Then on her left front leg, she would bow out her elbow from time to time while walking or standing. We were well into the pandemic at this point in 2020. We had all the time in the world being stuck at home, so we continued our walks on most days. Even though she still seemed to be enjoying her walks, we did take her to the vet to get her checked out to be sure that she didn't have an actual injury. The vet didn't run any x-rays, but just said that they suspected arthritis. They put her on gabapentin for the pain. We left and continued life with our two dogs. Over the course of 2020 and 2021, Maggie's condition gradually became worse, as it does with arthritis. Despite Maggie's decline, my wife and I still felt comfortable boarding our two dogs so that we could go out of town together for a couple of days from time to time. We would never go more than two or three nights, though. Maggie was still quite mobile, albeit a little hobbled. Maggie began taking some double steps and crossing over her front legs when walking. Her limp was apparent, but not debilitating. She would no longer jump on the bed or even the couch. We would pick her up and put her where she wanted to be, and she was still able to jump down on her own. She fell up the steps to the front door, so we no longer let her climb those stairs. But she could still get down the stairs by taking them one at a time with a little hop steps down. Maggie also no longer gave hugs. If I sat down to her level, she would come to me, pushing the top of her head into my chest. I'd rub and stroke her shoulders and body, and she would breathe in deeply and let out a sigh. Maggie still had her regular vet visits. They never prescribed anything more than gabapentin for her. This was a small-town vet, and we felt that their overall attitude was to do as little as possible, as they made no other suggestions. We weren't satisfied with that. We found another vet in a bigger town not too far away, and they were an absolute godsend. This was early in 2022 at this point. This clinic was much more advanced in every way. We took every suggestion they gave us and tried it. Maggie stayed on the gabapentin, but we also now had her on amantadine and Adequan, which is an injectable. This vet also had equipment to perform laser therapy, and we took Maggie for laser therapy twice a week, despite the hour drive round trip. We didn't care. We'd do anything for her to be happy and alleviate the pain. She always had a bit more pep in her step after the laser treatments. We have no doubt that all of these things allow Maggie to live about another year. No small thing, as any pet owner knows. Her arthritis certainly didn't get better, but it did plateau. She seemed to stabilize for all of 2022. We initially didn't think she would make it until the end of 2022 before finding this new vet. We were so glad that we found this vet. Early in 2022, we decided that Maggie could no longer be boarded overnight. It just wouldn't be fair to her to be boarded in her hobbled state. My wife and I stopped any overnight travel together. We never found someone to babysit our pets in the home, and we thought it was too late in the game to introduce that to our dogs. I'm sure it would have been fine with them, but my wife and I decided not to do it. We would make the sacrifice for Maggie. We would still take Maggie and Enzo for daycare from time to time. Maggie was still mobile, and the daycare told us she seemed to enjoy her time there seeing other dogs. It wasn't very often, though. Maybe twice a month. A far cry from her 2 to 3 times a week she used to be able to go and play. At this point, Maggie also had a hard time standing in one spot for too long before she would break down. If she was on the move, she would be okay. But standing in one spot would be too much for her joints, and given enough time, she would break down. We bought a sling to support her while she ate her meals. By 2023, Maggie could no longer even step down the single step from our back door to the back patio. This wasn't even a full step, just a step down about the height of a brick on its shortest side. She probably could do it on her own, but we didn't want to take a chance of her taking a spill. She would still walk back to the back door, and I'd pick her up and set her down outside the back door. She'd walk the length of the patio, about 20 feet, and then I'd pick her up, and there was another single step down to get to where she'd do her business. I wanted her to walk on her own as much as possible. She'd squat to pee, and I'd support her chest to be sure her front legs didn't give out on her. She could hold her posture to poop on her own. I would let her dictate how long she wanted to be outside. She'd do her business and sniff around some of our grassy areas that we had plenty of. She'd occasionally get from our back door all the way to the end of our front driveway. This was probably about 50 yards. She'd look around. She'd occasionally spot a squirrel. Her ears would perk up and her eyes became alert and bright. She'd watch the squirrel longingly, likely recalling the days when she would tear off after them and give chase. She would take a big sniff of the air and feel the sun on her face and body, and then ultimately decide that was enough and head back to the back door to go back inside. This in itself was heartbreaking. She loved being outside in the past. She would never, ever want to come back in on her own accord. I'm not sure if she felt vulnerable being outside, knowing that she couldn't make a getaway should she encounter a stray or a wild animal. Of course, that was there to protect her. But I have to assume that doesn't matter instinctually for a dog that doesn't move too well. Or maybe just going that short distance outside was enough for her now, and she preferred the comfort of being indoors. We knew that Maggie still loved the smells and sights of the outdoors. Once we knew that she could no longer go on walks around the block, we had the idea to buy a cart to walk her around the block in. We did just that and found the perfect cart. We loaded blankets into it for her to lay on, and I pulled her around the block in that cart while my wife walked Enzo. She was still very alert and loved sniffing the air and being outside. I would take her out of the cart from time to time and let her sniff the grassy areas that she hadn't been able to walk to on her own in a long time. She'd stick her nose deep into the grass as she always did, taking big sniffs of the earth, smelling some long-gone animal or another dog.
Maggie could no longer reach her foot to her face to scratch it. I have a beard that I keep fairly short, so it was a bit coarse. I would rub my beard on her cheeks and face, and she would absolutely love it. She would press into me and rub her face against mine, scratching all of those places she could no longer reach on her own. She also couldn't scratch her ears anymore. I would rub the inside of her ears for her, and she would press her head into my hand and groan with pleasure while hitting those spots she could no longer reach on her own. We would do this over and over again, multiple times per day. I cherished every moment. I must say one thing at this point. My wife and I said that we would never keep Maggie alive for our own purposes. It was going to be soul crushing no matter when her journey came to an end, and we would not prolong her suffering just to put off that pain we would inevitably have to deal with. Throughout all of this, I always felt like Maggie wanted to be alive. She had life in her eyes. She still sought out our companionship. She wanted to be in whatever room we were in. She still loved her cart rides and getting out to sniff the world. She still loved when we loved on her. She still loved to eat. She ate every single one of her meals twice per day until the day she died. She still loved when I would help her scratch her face and ears. She would sleep through the night. She would even still get the zoomies, but she would do it while lying in her bed. I would play with her every time, putting my hand under the bed, and she'd wriggle and nip just like she used to all those years ago. I took every one of those quality of life quizzes, and all of those indicated that Maggie's quality of life was good, because literally the only poor score was on mobility. Even our vet tech, who saw her twice a week, said she thought her pain was being managed. Maggie never shied away from anyone's touch or shivered due to her pain. Until the very end, Maggie was drinking water, eating her food, going to the bathroom just fine, had excellent blood work, had life in her eyes and was alert, was still barking at the mailman, an entirely healthy dog, except for that arthritis. My wife and I knew that this arthritis would progress no matter what we tried. We had discussions on what would be the tipping point to make the fateful decision that no pet owner ever wants to make. We decided that if it got to the point where Maggie couldn't walk on her own anymore, that would be an obvious line in the sand and some hard decisions would have to be made. That day finally came on November 1st, 2023. A Wednesday I'll never forget. I was at the gym working out and my wife sent me a text that read, Maggie did something to her back right foot. I came home and sure enough, she would put very little weight on her back right leg. I had to guess maybe 30% usage on that leg. Upon inspection, there was nothing wrong with her foot. The problem was that she no longer wanted to straighten her back leg. 30% usage of that leg, coupled with her other three limbs not working very well, was devastating for her. We took Maggie to the vet on Friday. Our vet was intimately familiar with Maggie due to her being there twice a week for her laser therapy. The vet did a cursory exam of Maggie's leg. Nothing was structurally wrong. She felt that the arthritis up in her hip was preventing her from wanting to straighten that leg. We would take the weekend to see if the leg improved. The coming weekend was pretty tough. Starting from that Wednesday, we wouldn't leave her alone. If we did, she would fall somewhere and not be able to get back up and would be stuck there until we got home. We would not let that happen to her. My wife and I would take turns leaving the house if we had anything to do. Even though Maggie could only make it maybe 5 to 10 steps before falling, she continually wanted to get up from her bed. I know she was uncomfortable, likely in some pain, and probably extremely frustrated. Every time Maggie would get up, she'd go to her and help her walk. We'd go to her and help her walk. We'd support her back, right side, and while bent over and supporting her, we'd follow her around wherever she wanted to go. We did have the sling and would use that too, but most times it was faster and easier to help her without the sling. She tended to freeze up a bit with the sling and didn't want to move much with it on her. This was backbreaking work. To support her and try to walk with her with our bodies bent at 90 degrees angle, and a 90 degree angle is difficult. And my wife and I go to the gym regularly and are in good shape. Even so, our lower backs were on fire every time we helped her. It was often. She'd take a quick walk of about 20 feet, sometimes more, then get back in her bed. Not 1 minute later, she'd be up again, over and over again for hours at a time. This was very frustrating for us, and we tried so hard not to show it to Maggie. As frustrating as this was for us, it must have been 10 times as frustrating for her, our poor girl. After 5 days of this, Monday came. My wife and I knew we couldn't go on like this for much longer. Taking care of her, we could deal with. Not being able to leave the house at the same time was something that can obviously go on for so long, only go on for so long. Maggie's leg showed no improvement over those 5 days, but we knew that 5 days might not be enough to see some improvement. We got in touch with our vet and scheduled in-home euthanasia for that Saturday, November 11th, 2023. A full 10 days after her initial problem with her leg. The thought being, if Maggie showed any improvement at all, we could cancel the appointment. We both know we were hoping for a miracle. And even if that miracle came, it was only going to be a matter of time before that limb or another limb stopped working for her. We spent the next 5 days exactly as we spent the first 5 days. Maggie did not improve. We walked Maggie wherever she needed to go. We took her for cart rides every single day, even though it was November. We were blessed with some beautiful weather in the low 70s for most of her last 10 days on this earth. She loved the feeling of the sun on her body, and she got it almost every day for those 10 days. Counting the days, then the hours, then the minutes until Saturday at 4 o'clock when the vet would come to the house was excruciating. We took Maggie for one last cart ride. She got up and barked at the mailman and one last time when he came. Her bark was still strong. We gave her a last supper of two cheeseburgers, French fries, and whipped cream for dessert. She savored every bite. I will never forget that last bit of cheeseburger she took from my hand, or the last lick of whipped cream from my finger. The sparkle and excitement in her eyes is seared into my memory. The vet and the vet tech arrived on time. Maggie knew them both well. The vet tech was the same one that had done almost every single one of Maggie's laser treatments. They had formed a bond. Maggie saw her and immediately thought she had treats for her, because she always did. This was just another day for Maggie. The vet and the vet tech were both so sweet. They said their hellos and goodbyes to Maggie. We sat around Maggie while she laid in her bed. She nuzzled the vet tech's hand, likely expecting one of those treats to be in there. Enzo walked around and observed. My wife was in front of Maggie. I didn't plan this, but Maggie laid her head on my left leg. They gave Maggie the initial shot in her left quad muscle. She became sleepy. We stroked her and whispered our goodbyes and love to her. Her eyes went from alert to sleepy. Her eyelids began to droop. I wonder what was the last thing she saw in this world. She did look up at me while I stroked that space between her eyes that always seemed to make her happy. Her eyes closed for the last time, and she fell into a deep, relaxed sleep. Likely the best sleep she had had in weeks. Her breathing became very deep. Allie and I continued to whisper our love to her, giving her kisses and petting her. They slowly injected the second shot. My hand was on Maggie's heart. I felt it stop. I felt her chest cease to rise and fall. I felt her go completely still and pass away. Maggie was gone. Her journey on this earth had come to an end. I was utterly devastated. It's a surreal thing when a living thing passes. The stillness is complete. I cried hard, turning away from everyone. I know it was one ugly cry. The cremation service was on time, 4:30 p.m. to take Maggie away. There were two really nice fellas, very compassionate and caring. We signed the paperwork. They carefully slid Maggie off of my leg and fully into her bed. This being the last time I would ever feel her weight on me was not lost on me in this moment. We sat off to the side as they lifted Maggie in her bed onto the gurney. They laid an angel blanket over her, leaving her head exposed for us to say our last goodbyes. My wife said hers, then I said mine. I told her she was totally free now, and that I would never, ever forget her. I whispered some other things that will remain forever between me and her. I gave her one last face rub against my beard and gave her a final kiss. They covered her all the way and rolled her out to the van and loaded her up. We watched them leave our driveway and watched Maggie leave our lives forever. I, of course, do harbor some guilt for taking her life. I will forever think that I asked Maggie if she preferred to live the way she was, or if she'd rather die, she would have chosen to live. I asked myself questions, so many questions. Should we have given it one more week to see if her leg would get better? Did we do it too soon? One of my biggest sources of guilt is knowing that we would never euthanize a human for having arthritis. I have considered my dogs my equal, not subordinates. I give to them, they give to me. Why did I have to take the life of a living being for having arthritis? Surely there were other options. At the same time, I do realize that anyone who hears this story would probably say, well, yeah, she couldn't walk anymore. It was her time. And I do know there is some truth to that. So while I have moments of guilt, I do feel that in the end, we did the right thing for Maggie. I do realize that Maggie had a good, long dog life, a lifespan that some pet owners would envy and call me lucky. I do feel lucky to have had Maggie for that long. People also tell us what great parents we were and how lucky Maggie was to have us, how we loved her and cared for her as much as any pet parent possibly could, how Maggie loved us so much. What a special soul she was. I know all these things to be true, but none of it lessens the pain one bit. Here I am almost a month later. I cried some hard tears the first few days. I've still teared up a little bit, or gotten misty-eyed every day since then. Some days I still do have a good hard cry. I try not to stifle my tears and just let them flow. Much like Ken, I like to listen to music that actually provokes my sadness. I believe that letting the grief flow fierce and strong is helpful to move on. I bottled up my pain when my mother passed away in 2006 and started to have panic attacks shortly after that. Those are long gone now, but I know that the harm that can come from bottling up your grief. I created a playlist just for songs that remind me of Maggie. I listen to them when I'm going for a run outside and just let the tears flow. Running and crying. When the pain hits me hard on these runs, I break into a sprint. I imagine Maggie sprinting beside me, enjoying the wind on her face, while tears streak down mine. I've started a new ritual to honor Maggie. Every morning, when I first step outside and feel the sun, I raise my face to the sun. I close my eyes and enjoy the sun's warmth on my face and body, just like Maggie used to do. And then I say, "Good morning, Maggie," aloud, vowing to speak her name aloud every day for as long as I am able to. Everywhere I look, I see her, clear as day. I miss so many things about Maggie, but the thing I will miss the most is the way she would look into my eyes and hold my gaze, peering into my soul, a wordless exchange of deep love between us. A love that I will deeply miss, but that I will hold in my heart until the day I die. I want to close this by thanking you both for the work that you do. Your podcast brings me some peace. Your voices and way of speaking is so understanding and compassionate. After listening to you both these last few weeks and hearing your own stories of loss, I feel that you are my friends. If you've gotten this far, I thank you for reading Maggie's story. I do think it's an important one for anyone that has or will go through a pet with mobility issues, and especially arthritis. If you choose to share my story, feel free to edit anything that may be superfluous. I know this ended up quite long. I did want to give a little history of Maggie to give you a complete picture, though. Honestly, I could have written pages more about my sweet baby girl. I did attach just a few photos and a very short video clip of one of their last cart rides. I wish you both and your families, which obviously include your fur babies, a very happy holidays and health and happiness always. With love, Nate.
What an amazing, thoughtful, beautiful, yeah. Heartbreaking and heartwarming story.
Yeah.
Of yeah, me and his wife and Maggie.
Yeah. We have a lot of comments actually.
Oh my goodness. So, it was so beautiful.
To be able to have another daughter. Oh, very sad. There's so we have Grace Under Fire who says, "I attended the group. This most recently it was very helpful." We have Jay Thank Coder you. Who says, "Hi."
Thank you.
Thank you for the book and this podcast.
Thank
from
you.
Nada Mansour. But I will never be able to have another dog again. My parents are keeping my three other dogs. And every time I go, it's like a nightmare. This can be very, very hard for some people. Got one more. So very sad. What an amazing testimony to give.
Nate, this story. Hit me. It really hit me. They all hit me, but this one was so deliberate and caring and compassionate, right? And thoughtful, and how he and his wife had to come to that decision, no matter if the quality of life scale was great, except for mobility, that they came together to say, okay, this is our line in the sand. As he said.
And I just want you to know too that Nate is with us. So Nate's telling us that he's here.
And Nate, I want to say she's already with you in your heart. She's already with you in your soul. And she's sprinting right along with you when you run. Because now she can run.
He talks about this, and it is very similar to the kind of the experiences that I have where sometimes when I'm running, I will see them. I'll see my lost pets. And so to me, that's part of my spirituality. I call it raising energy, and it brings you closer to spirit in some ways. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of a Wiccan way of experiencing connection and experiencing prayer in a sense. And so it's very interesting to hear him say that. And the tears are... The tears are evidence and testimony to connection. That's the way I see that. And that he feels her with him, which I'm sure she is.
Yeah, we're sure she's there, Nate.
All the time, actually. But I also want to, he does talk about, you know, we took her life. At one point he says we killed her. Yeah. And this is about as far from that as you can.
Yeah. He says he still has guilt, right? Well, everybody does have.
There's nothing you can do to except go through time and kind of emotionally work on it over and over and over again. But these are people who are so deliberate, and they had a plan that was so carefully thought out and so cautious.
So loving to her, right? I mean, it was about her ability and to walk.
But even when they said, okay, it's not getting better, they still gave it another several days.
Yeah, 10 days.
And they were doing this very much in sync with their veterinary professionals. And so, I mean, you can't do it better than that. And the life that they gave dog, where they were, it's like they were her attendants in those last few years in the most intimate and demanding way. So, and so they didn't, I hope they're able to let go of the language of killing her and say, we eased her transition. It was her time. We all decided that she loved you. She trusted you and absolutely had every reason to, and you fulfilled that trust in the best way possible.
Yep, absolutely. And I can resonate with him when her body was taken from, you know, her head from his leg and the weight.
Yeah.
And that I can still feel Jack from March, right? I mean, he was a little guy, but when he had died, it was that's what they call it, right? The dead weight, right? Yeah. It was so different. And I knew that he was gone, but I also knew that his quality of life wasn't there and it was his time. So I can resonate with Matt, with Nate when he said that.
Yeah.
You know?
So we want to thank you for sharing this story and the clarity and precision with which you described her decline and your family's evaluation with your veterinary care professionals. It's the best you can do. So it's such a model for anybody who has a situation that's similar.
It could be arthritis. It could be some other kind of disability. I mean, Jackie ate and drank and went out and did his business all the way up to when he just walked in circles.
Yeah.
And so
it was a cognitive decline. Yeah.
And so we couldn't, I mean, for us, it was like, how could he, he didn't have that quality of life anymore, even if he could eat and even if he could urinate outside and even if he could walk. So there are other things like arthritis, and Nate, thank you for bringing that to our attention.
And I also just want to make a comment to Nada or Nada. I'm sorry if I'm not saying that correctly, but I will never be able to have another dog again. My parents are keeping my three other dogs. Every time I go, it's like a nightmare. I'm hoping that extraordinary distress lessens over time. I don't know how much time it may take, but I'm hoping that becomes less and less over time. So we'll be thinking about you and hoping that you are feeling some lessening of that extraordinary pain. And so, Nancy, it was great as always talking with you. And
thank you, Nate. Thank you for all who commented. We appreciate that.
Yes,
and we will have a recording next week.
Yeah, I'll be traveling next week, so we're going to have a recorded program. It should be, it'll be on YouTube. It will not appear on Facebook, but it will also be on it'll be on all the podcast outlets. And also, if you find this program useful, please do subscribe on YouTube. Mm-hmm. It helps other people gain access to it more readily. So thanks very much.
Thank you. Take care.